snacks. And you left off last week, we were just introducing what the requirements for lechem is, particularly vis-a-vis the bracha of amotzi. Of course, it impacts on the tassidayim, bechsebazon. So we said there's a major machlekes Rabbi Natam and other rishonim that started in the sugya of afreshes challah. In terms of if I take flour and water, make a dough, a thick dough, bread-like dough, and then rather than baking it, I planned on cooking it or deep frying it. Place can say it also has a status like cooking. Is that considered to be a lechem b'chlal? So Rabbi Natam said that such a dough would be chayavas in challah. And it's unclear why Rabbi Natam said that. So Taisus quotes two versions of Rabbi Natam. One version of Rabbi Natam is it's just unique to challah, because challah, the mechayev in challah is a din of isa. So once it's an isa, so that's that in of itself is a mechayev of challah. The Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Natam said that maybe it's really called lechem. Maybe in a chanami, ketachavi, I get a shem lechem, even though it never saw the inside of an oven. Oh, that's somebody else. Okay. Okay, move on. Okay. Fine. Okay. So, nafkamina ladina, would you recite a mitzvah? Would you have to wash and bench for such a type of a food? So, Tosfos has a fascinating comment to Maseches Brachos. Tosfos raises the question that if the version of Rabbi Natam is that such an item is considered to be a lechem, even for the purposes of a mitzvah, maybe you would have to wash and bench on the following food. And Taisus gives you the old French word for this food. And Taisus says, I can't be. Lo yitochein. You have to wash and bench on this food. What is this food that Taisus is talking about? So they give you the old French word. I'm not an expert. Old French word, modern French. But if you look in the back of the Matar game, so 9 out of 10 times the Matar game uses the old German word, which usually doesn't help much. But every once in a while, the German word and the Yiddish word are close enough. You can figure out what it is. So here, Baruch Hashem, it works. Lokshin. I think we know what that is. Lokshin. Lokshin. Noodles. Pasta. That's what the word that Taisus is talking about. Sometimes, if you know Yiddish, I'll be in German. I was once in the airport in Frankfurt, and I was trying to figure out how in the world to get out of this place. I remember trying to have a clue. And then I saw there was a big sign that says Gangen. So I put two and two together. Gangen means to go out in Yiddish. My stomach, that was the exit. So Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I'd still be walking around the airport. Okay. So Taisus says it's late, and even according to Rabbeinu Tam, nobody in your wildest dreams would say that you wash and bench on lokshin. My eye, why not? So Taz explains, because in order to wash and bench, in order for it to be alechem, for the purposes of brachas, it has to look like bread also. It has to have that bready kind of look. If it's lacking to a pass, if it doesn't have any resemblance to the bread family, even though it's technically, purely halachically, perhaps lechem, it still falls short in terms of brachas. So even if you take the version of Rabbeinu Tam, that when you have, like, let's say, a kreploch, you have, you know, the wontons, those kinds of foods, those are red bready kinds of foods. Those eat a little sandwich, a little meat inside them. That's like a sandwichy kind of food. It's a bready kind of food. So Tosfos is not even sure whether you have to make a motzi on those. For sure you have to mafish challah, according to Rabbeinu Tam. We're not sure whether you have to make a motzi on them. But Tosfos says one thing is for sure, that a lokshin, forget about. A lokshin, you don't have to worry about. A lokshin, nothing to worry about whatsoever. That's how. That's pretty much how Rabbeinu Tam, how Tosfos sizes up the sugya. So again, even with the Rabbeinu Tam shita, we're not sure. But the evidence is that we don't even really follow this Rabbeinu Tam, because even in Hilchos Challah, most of the Rishonim follow the view of the Rash. The Rash is Pesha Mishnayis, and others, the Rosh and others, disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and say you're not even chayim in Challah on the wontons, on the, I forget about the lokshin, you're not chayim in Challah on any of these things. So we don't really follow Rabbeinu Tam altogether. The Shach in Hilchos Challah writes that lechanchila misofek chumra, you should try to be mafresh challah on these things. Why not? But that's like a psachumra biyam. It's not really mikredin. Mikredin, we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam. So since we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam vis-a-vis Hilchos Challah, kal v'choymeh, we're not going to accept Rabbeinu Tam vis-a-vis Hilchos Brachas. So therefore, for us, it's a no-brainer that none of these foods are really going to require hamotzi whatsoever. Afal b'chein in Hilchos Brachas. So all of a sudden, the Paiskim start throwing a bit of tam into the mix of Sabiris Chasidus. You should try, if you can, to avoid eating the kreploch outside of a meal. Because if you eat a kreploch not in the context of a meal, according to one version of a bit of tam, maybe you have to wash on them, maybe you have to make, you have to bench on them. So yes, it's an ace. You should try to avoid Sabiris Chasidus, Yerei Shemayim, big bichumras, to only eat those kinds of things in the middle of a context of a meal. But it's not me'ikim, me'ikim. Since it's not Mikra Din, we don't really follow the whole Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that in order to be called Lechem, it has to have a subsequent afia. this poses a very, very serious problem in another area of halacha, which is related to brachas, but not brachas proper. And that's the area of bishalakum. There's a tesis in the beginning of the second week of Beitza that raises the question. We know that Chazal asked both bishalakum and pasakum, same mishnah in Maseches Bedizara. When it comes to pasakum, Chazal had a humongous kula. The kula was that they basically lifted the isser if it's a makom palter, if it's a pas palter, if it's a professional kind of a baker. Since the odds of anything really going well, you're probably not going to marry the baker's daughter anyway. You don't have a personal relationship with him, even though you know who he is. So therefore, they lifted the yisr of pas akum, b'mokom pas palter. Bishal akum, they never lifted. Why not? Because bishal akum is much more serious because pas is a big tzairich. You need bread to live. Bishal, you'll survive without a steak. You'll survive without a piece of chicken, without a piece of fish. Without bread, it's going to be much harder to survive. So therefore, it was a mishum chay nefesh. So it's a tremendous tzairich. So they watered down a little bit the yisr of their avon and the pas akum. Even though b'ikaron, they're really the same gizeh, or at least for the same reason. So when all the dust settles in halacha, we split between pas akum is mutter, b'ikar adin, it's palter, it's professional baker, not a personal friend. Whereas bishal akum is still b'isur oimim. So Tosfos raised the shaila, how do you draw the line? What's called bread? What's called bishal? So some things are obvious. Let's say I have a challah, that's bread. I have a piece of chicken, that's bishal. Some things are obvious. But some things are less obvious. What about cake? What about cookies? Is that called pas akum? Is that called bishal akum? So Tosfos quotes two possibilities. So one day Tosfos says that unless you make kamoitzi on it, that's not called pas. And anything that's not amoitzi lechem in aretz, by definition, it's not called pas. If it's not pas, then it was never included in the kula of pas akum. That is belight the isser of bishal akum. Even if it's made in the oven, that's called bishal akum, and therefore it's also mikar adim. The Eidish Levi tells another day that says, no, even though normally you don't make kamoitzi on cookies, but once in a while you do, if you have a lot of cookies, and you would make kamoitzi on them. We'll get to that hopefully a little later on. But possible to kiss them if you come to them. So in theory, you could make kamoitzi on cookies and cake. So therefore, it is called lechem in a certain sense. So Taiz is heavy annoying. They're not sure what the din is. How do you define lechem? Is lechem defined by the bracha here and now? Or is lechem defined by a potential bracha somewhere down the line? So we pass the Kudra Ramah, Nuchas Bishalachim is Mekel on the Shahel. The Ramah says, Gidiv Yerdech Lebez, the Ramah writes that anything that in theory you would make a motzi on, even you're not eating it so much of it, but in theory if you ate more quantity of this food, you would make a motzi on it, that's considered to be Lechem, and therefore was never included in the Gzer. Even though it's interesting, the reason for the Kula Paspalter is because it's such a big tzarech. What's the big tzarech? I mean, I have this phenomenal cake. I need the 16th dessert from the Viennese table. It's such a big tzarech. I'm going to plas without it. No. Once it's called lechem, so then apidin, it's like a low plug of the Kula. Usually low plugs of the chumra. It's like a low plug of the Kula. That once it's called lechem, then the game's over. So it's based on this, there are more paskins, that cookies and cakes are not bishalach. They're all pasach. They're all fine. So now the shaila was raised. What if I have something that's never going to be a mitzi? For example, a donut. You're never going to make a mitzi on a donut, even if you have 100 donuts. You know why? Because we reject your benetam. If you accept your benetam and you think your benetam meant is that even for brachas, so then in theory you should make a mitzi on all donuts. The only reason why you wouldn't make a mitzi on donuts is because it's possible to kiss it, because it's a snacky kind of food. It's like a piece of cake. But if you eat enough donuts, according to your benetam, you'd be required to make a bracha on them. So according to your benetam, donuts are kosher. Donuts are not a problem, bishalachim, because donuts are pasachim. But the didon that we in Uchas Brachas and we in Uchas Chala don't really accept a benetam, they're machmel lechad chil in Uchas Brachas, we yes to say means chasidus. But migra didn't we pass again that donuts are not pas lechol dini atayra, they're not pas the gabe chala, and they're not pas the gabe hamoitzi, so then they should be bishal, and all donuts should be treif. All the goyish donuts, all the donkey donuts should be treif gomer. So the answer is probably right. There probably is bishalachim. So why is it mutter? So why do we eat donuts for? So that's what many pasukim say. We eat donuts for a different reason. It's bishalachim, but it's eina ala shulchan malachim. There's a special kula that was built into the takon of bishalachim, but it's eina ala shulchan malachim. It's like pasachim. They never gave that kula for whatever reason. But bishalachim, they built in a kula. It's not a fancy kind of a meal. You wouldn't serve it in a chasana. So that's called eina ala shulchan malachim. Today they serve some of those donuts at the end of the wedding. Take home, man. Those are the crazy ones. Those are the corona weddings. But the regular weddings, so they don't. You know, in the old days, the Friedrich and Davis, we had a real wedding. They didn't put donuts on the table for dessert. So therefore, donuts are probably mutter because ain't Allah shukum alachem. There's an interesting cool that emanates from that. During Aseres Metshuva, so we have a custom, the Gaonim have a minhag in Shulchan Aruch quotes that you're not supposed to rely on the kula paspalta during Aseres Metshuva. It's not the best kula in the world. The kula of Ein Olah Shel Malach is a great kula. It's a Gemara's kula. What's wrong with it? So therefore, Lefinias Daiti, you shouldn't eat like regular cakes and cookies. You shouldn't eat during Aseres Metshuva because they're basically pas, because they're baked. So they're really pas. So the only kula is because it's paspalter. Paspalter, you're not supposed to rely on during Aseres Metshuva. Dunkin' Donuts are not pas. So the only kula is because Ein Olah Shel Malachim. Ein Olah Shel Malachim is a kula medin de gemara. You're not relying on kulas medin de gemara, even during Aseres Metshuva. So if you're interested, you can eat Dunkin' Donuts during Aseres Metshuva. You can't eat Entenmann's. And Entenmann's donuts are like Entenmann's cakes because they're not really donuts. They're just they're cake made into a circle with some chocolate frosting on them. Okay, anyway, that's the side. So a lot of important things emanate from Hilchos Brachos. So back to the story. So we know that if you have something that's halachically called bread, so you recite the moitzi on it, and you bench on it. Is there anything that could happen to a piece of bread, to a halachical piece of bread that could be mevatel l'shem alecha from it? Can anything happen that could subsequently change its status vis-a-vis Hilchos Brachos? So there's a long sugya, a complicated sugya in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Brachos. That's a big machlokes that we showed what the Gemara even said, but we're going to present what has become the accepted halacha. It's basically Shittas Tosfos and the Tamid Rabbein Yonah, and the Shulchan Aruch basically goes along with this, although Rashi has a whole different shot in the sugya. Basically, what comes out is as follows. The answer to the question is, can something happen to bread that can be mevatel l'shem lechem? The answer is, it depends. It depends what that something is. So Tosfos develops are actually three different categories. One category, category number one is, I have a piece of bread or I have a piece of matzah, and I simply crush it up into little tiny pieces. That is not considered to be a process that changes Hilchos Brachos. Therefore, it's dino kipas gomor. It retains the status of lechem gomor chol dini atayra. Let's say I want to eat a spoonful of breadcrumbs. I want to eat a spoonful of matzah meal. So the brach is hamoitzi, and if you have a kazayis, wash your bench. Mamish lechem chol dini atayra. We're so convinced that lechem chol dini atayra that even the gabi matzah can be eaten matzah with. Let's say if a person has trouble chewing matzah, so give him a kazayis of matzah meal. Shmur matzah meal. Because that's no shinui. It's shinui, but nothing significant happened to it to change its status in Hilchos Brachos. But then category number two is, what if I take a piece of bread or take a piece of matzah, and I, after it's baked already, so it's already bread, it's ready matzah, ready chalon or shem lechem, I go ahead and I subsequently cook it. So now what? Does the bishul mevatel the afia? Does the bishul cancel the afia? And now it lost its status of lechem and it reverts back to a mezonos because it's chamesh min adavon, so it's worse than mezonos. Or do I say no? Once lechem, nothing is no bishul stam mevatel the afia. So the Gemara tells us, at least the way Taisus reads the Gemara, we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that depends. It depends on how big the pieces are. If they are prusas nikaras, the big pieces, so then the bishul doesn't affect it. If they're smaller pieces, then the bishul does affect it. How big is big? How small is small? So the Gemara never says exactly. It's nice close to Shami. Shami says kezayis. If the piece is bigger than a kezayis, I take a big piece of bread and I throw it into a pot of soup and I take it out, it still remains a mitzi. But if I take a half a kezayis of bread and throw it into a pot of soup, so the bishul is mevatel the shem lechem, and the bracha goes down to being mezonos. That's the second category. What if I take a piece of bread, break into a lot of little pieces, and then I cook all those pieces together, and now sacha kol have a kezayis, but each one separately was not a kezayis? So the Magen Avraham says, that's not considered to be a kezayis. And what is that? What do we call that? Taking a lot of pieces of bread, or call matzah instead, breaking it up into matzah meal, and then re-cooking it together. What do we call that? It's a matzah, it's a knedel. So the broch on a knedel, you don't become moitzi on a knedel, you make mezainis on a knedel. No matter, you can eat 100 knedels, it's still going to be mezainis. So since each piece was broken up for less than a kezayis, even though it was subsequently joined to be bigger than knedel, is bigger than a kezayis, but since each piece of the matzah bowl was smaller and it was subsequently cooked, so that's considered to be lose the status of bread, the bracha goes down to a mezainis. So that's category number two. Category number three, says Tosfos, based on how you use the Gemara, is what if I take a piece of bread, or I take a piece of matzah, and I start mixing with other things. It's already baked. I start taking it and mushing it together with honey, with juices, with soup, with other kind of liquids. I mush it all together, but I don't cook it. Either I leave it in the mush state, or perhaps I rebake it, throw it back into the oven or something. That's the third category. So on the one hand, it's more nishtana than the first case, when nothing happened to it, it was just chopped into little pieces. And the other hand, I didn't do the critical component, I didn't do an actual bishul. So where does that fall into the spectrum? So Taisa shows you from the Gemara that here the rule is as follows. That if the pieces are kezarias, then for sure the bracha is the same. Mandach, when I cook it, when I did a real bona fide bishul, the bishul can't negate a piece of bread that was the size of a kezarias. So here I didn't even do bishul, for sure the bracha remains the same. But here's the chiddush of Taisus. That even if the pieces are less than a kezarias, if it's still nikar tzurisafas, it's still recognizable. I can still look at it and say, hey, this looks very much like a piece of bread. It's a small piece of bread, but I can see it's a piece of bread. So even though the pieces were less than a kezayis, it still retains the status of lechem. So unlike shuvnis bashel, where everything depends upon a kezayis, here Taisa says kezayis is one of the factors, but not the only factor. The other factor is, even if it's less than a kezayis, it still retains the status of bread if it's nikar tzurisafas. What's a good example of this? I don't know. It's a good example of this kind of food. I take a piece of bread, take a piece of matzah, mix it up with other kind of liquids, other chazara, I throw it back to the oven. Matzah bar is a tricky one. It's like a matzah kugel. The reason why matzah bar is tricky is because it's fried. Okay? So here it's thrown back into the oven. So it's matzah kugel. So do I make a mitzvah matzah kugel? A lot of people like to eat it. My wife loves to make it. She makes it basically all the time matzah kugel. You might take matzah fireful, mix it with eggs and other stuff, and you bake it up. It's delicious. What brach do you make on it? So here the problem is, you take one look at this matzah kugel and you can see the piece of matzah. You can still see the little lines, the little holes. You can still see the piece of matzah. You know it's matzah kugel. What do you think it is? You think it's come on. You don't know what it is. It's matzah kugel. So even though the pieces are smaller than a kezayis, but it's still nikar tzurisafas, it was never subsequently cooked. So therefore the bracha lefi ani zdaita, that kind of matzah kugel would tachav yamoytzi. If you throw the matzah kugel into the blender and you destroy the tzurisafas, you can't even see what it is. It's a person can think it's potato kugel. So then the bracha would be tachav mizayis. So those are the three categories. So now, as you pointed out correctly, even though those are the three categories, it's not always so poshut whether you've met the criteria of category number two or category number three, because the difference between two and three was, did bishul take place? That's a very, very loaded question. What do you mean, did bishul take place? As we all know, those who ever learned Masechta Shabbos, those who learned Yoredei and Chulin, so know that whether or not bishul took place is a very, very controversial question. There are a lot of processes that are not clear whether the halachically called bishul is not. One of them, as you said correctly, is frying. Is that considered to be bishul? Let's say I take a piece of bread, take a piece of matzah, and I don't cook it in a pot with water. I don't throw it into an oven with nothing. I put it into a frying pan with oil. Is that considered to be an act of bishul, which would therefore require us only to follow category number two, namely size of bread, that's all that matters? Or do I say no? That frying is not bishul. Frying is like rebaking, because tigun is not really like bishul. And therefore, even if it's less than the kezayis, but if it has tzurisafas, it still will require hamaitzi. So it's unclear where frying fits into the scheme of things. The place can point out that if you deep fry something, that's for sure bishul. That's not even a shame. On the other extreme, if you fry, and like what we fry today, where very often you don't even put any oil on, you just put a little spritz or something, something that the frying pan doesn't explode. So that's probably nothing. That's probably just like a feel. But if you put in a nice amount of oil, that's the shayla in the poskim. So that's unresolved. The Mishnah Berurah leaves us hanging with the bracha matzah bray is. Matzah bray is, you take little pieces of matzah, you break them, you don't take a whole kezayis, a little small piece of matzah. Take 20 little small pieces of matzah, break them up, and you throw them into a frying pan with oil and all kind of stuff, and you fry it up. So what's the bracha on it? So if you hold the frying is like bishul, the pieces are less than a kezayis. So even though it looks like bread, it still looks like matzah, you make mezonos. If you hold that frying is not like bishul, so then even though the pieces are less than a kezayis, you still have tzurisafas. So the Mishnah Berurah leaves you hanging. It's not sure what the din is, what bracha to make on matzah bread. What about French toast? French toast should be the same shayla. So the good news about French toast is they usually make more than a kezayis. A good slice of bread is definitely a kezayis. If you make a little tiny, watching your cholesterol, you should be eating French toast anyway. You have a little small piece of French toast, less than a kezayis, so that would be the same shot as the matzah bread. But if you make a regular, normal French toast, it's going to be a motzi. Even if frying is like cooking, it doesn't matter, because it's more than a kezayis. You have other shots that come up in terms of what's called cooking. The same way we follow the rules of cooking for Chos Bishul, for Bosh Bishul B'Shabbos, Bishul Bosh B'Cholov, those din with Bishul should govern here as well. So let's say, Klisheni, so the Gemara says in Shabbos, Klisheni and Mevashel. We have Chumras, Mitravonans, of Kali Abishul, all kind of Kuntzim and Uchah Shabbos, why we refrain from cooking Klisheni is Lechat Chila. But Me'ikam Ikra Din, it's probably true that Klisheni and Mevashel. If that's the case, Chos Brachas, we're probably going to follow what the Ikra Din is, and therefore, we're going to treat something that was let's say I took a piece of bread, I threw it into a bowl of soup, not the pot of soup, but I threw my bread into a bowl of soup. So then that's not really called nisbashel. So then I would still have to make a motzi on it, even if it's less than a kazakh, because it's recognizable as bread. If I throw it into a pot of soup, either ala esh or shalala esh, that's called a kli rishon. What if I pour boiling water onto a piece of bread or onto a piece of matzah? It's Eroi. Those were with us last year. Says Chum, we well remember that the Magen Avraham writes, he's not sure what the din is. Machlek is the Rosh Bamer Ben Atam, Machlek is the Rishayim, today's in Tosfos. But the Eroi is like Klee Rishayim, like Klee Shayini. So you have a lot of these kinds of shaylas that if you want to pass in the shaylah properly in Uchaz Brachas, you have to go back to the sugyas of Bishul, which are the Shabbos sugyas, your day of sugyas, and determine what the rules of Bishul are, because category 2, category 3 are so critical. They both depend on whether a Maaseh Bishul happened or not. So the bottom line is, we really spent time between last week and this week developing what is considered to be lachem, what are some of the criteria necessary to make bread. So we saw that afiyah is, according to many Rishonim, but we pass it's critical. According to Rabbi Natan, it's a little bit less critical, possibly, than what you think Rabbi Natan actually said. And then, once you have something that is bread, then you have a further shayla, is there anything that can be done to be mevatel from the shem lachem? But now this leads us into the very beginning of the next topic, which I'll mention, we'll take it to the next plate. And that's, even if something has all the criteria that we mentioned, namely it's made for Nechmesh Min HaDogah, and it was made even as an Issa, and it was baked in an oven, and nothing happened to it afterwards, there could still be something that could water down its version of being bread. Yeah. Those croutons are very, very tricky. Very, very tricky, because the chayin, nothing happened to them to make them ice bread. Nothing. So that's very, very tricky. So the only tzad l'hokl on the croutons, not to have to wash in them, is that since they were made mitchil lekach, to be used as snacks, they may fall into the cooler possible b'kistim. We'll get to that as we develop possible b'kistim. That would be the only tzad l'hokl. Okay? Maybe it's the right tzad l'hokl, we'll have to see. So comes the Gemara at the end of the sixth Pechem Brachas, so it talks about another kind of a bread that has all the characteristics of bread. It was baked, it was never in a special afterwards, nothing, it wasn't broken, nothing changed it. The other thing is that it was made somehow with chila in a little bit of a different tour, a little bit of a different way than regular bread. And that's called the pasav of a kisnin. And pasav of a kisnin is a tricky thing, the Gemara says. Is it bread? Kind of. Is it not bread? Kind of. What does that mean? If you just have a small amount of it, then it's not treated like bread. And therefore, you don't make a blitzi on it, just make mezonos. You don't wash it, you don't bench on it. It's a small amount. Even if you had a kazayas, and kazayas is usually the amount for sure. Kazayas for sure is mechayim in benching, and according to many poskim, kazayas is mechayim in tassidayim, something kibetza. But even if you had a kibetza and it's possible to kiss it, you don't have to wash a bench, no motzi, just mezonos and not a mechion. But if you reach a certain amount called Kviya Suda, then all the rules of the game change. If you have Kviya Suda, then the lach is, then it's treated like lechem, and you have to make a mitzi, wash, bench the whole 9 yards. So what is this possible kisnin exactly? What is it that's such a strange thing that nishtehair, something that's like bread, not like bread, what exactly is it? So very, very unclear what this possible kisnin is. So in the Rishonim, we find three different interpretations that are quoted describing possible kisnin. So we'll describe them very quickly, then we'll try to give a practical, a modern example of them, and then we'll hopefully take it to the next level mitzvah next week. So some Rishonim describe possible kisnin from Lashon like a kiss, like a packet. It's something which has a filling to it. Unlike a regular piece of bread, which is just a flat piece of bread, a piece of matzah, a flat piece of matzah, it's something more like a pie. It's a dough, it's flour and water, it's baked, but it has a filling to it. It's got a fruit filling to it. Or maybe it has a cheese filling to it. Maybe it has other fillings to it. So it has a filling to it, has a kiss to it. That's possible of a kisnin. That's one interpretation that's found in some Rishonim. Other Rishonim say possible kisnin does not refer to having a kiss, having a pocket. But rather it means that other kinds of spices and kisnin, other kinds of things were thrown into the batter, into the dough to begin with. Unlike regular bread, which is usually just flour and water, Here you have other things with thrown in. What other kinds of things? Sweeter kinds of things. Maybe some sugar was thrown in. Maybe some honey was thrown in. Maybe other things were thrown in to liven up, you know, spice it up a little bit. That's possible with kistin. So let's say, what would be a good example of a possible with kistin? We'll give it the game. Well, honey cake. That was the official example given in Europe, where people used to eat honey cake. Lekach, honey cake. So on the one hand, it's baked in an oven. It's flour and water baked in an oven, but it's not just flour and water. There's honey, there's sugar, maybe there's chocolate chips inside it, other things that are put in to make it taste a little bit sweeter. That's possible with kistin. So what's the din of these kinds of things? If you have a small amount of mezonos, if you have a lot, it's amazing. Third example that other Rishayim give is, it's rikikin dakin, like thin crackery kinds of foods. So a cracker, it's flour, it's water, it's baked in an oven, but it's a very crackly, crumbly kind of thing. It's not a regular piece of bread, and therefore that's the possible kistin of Chazal. So those are the three interpretations. Whatever you think possible against the din, that the din would be small amount, no hamaitzi, just mezainis, no washing, no benching, large amount, everything changes. So hopefully mitzvah next week, we have to try to figure out what this machlekes is all about. These three different sheetahs, the severely machlekes, are all three right, how do we paskin? What exactly is going on? There's sister Terry about possible against the din. And then to understand, what do those words mean? Kaviya suda, that's the phrase that we're using, it's how to cover sudas yalai. If you kaviya suda on it, then all the rules change. What does that mean? What else? How do you define when someone is conveying a suit on something? Very, very strange concept. Hope that Shem next week we'll try to understand a little bit. Of course, it's going to set the stage for some of the big controversies, the great pizza controversy. Because it, of course, depends on what you think possible kissing is. Yeah. Zionist rolls, pizza, a lot of stuff coming. Yeah.
I have a quick one, nice question. Today for lunch, I have cheese pretzel in the cab. Yeah. So I didn't wash again. Was I supposed to?
So you want to know, is that a bracha matala? You have to go back for next week to find out what the answer to that question is. You don't have to do tshuva before. You're hanging for tshuva till next week. Okay. Good. All right. Good. Is it rainy outside still? Anyone tell? Except some stuff has to be brought in. Pouring or just a little.